Thank you, John and team. Good morning, everyone. And away we go. 2019 is moving rapidly, and the countdown long ended at New Year's Eve, and we are launching. 2 weeks old. How are you doing so far with the so-called New Year's resolutions and all the things that we think about should happen at the start of a new year? And it's interesting that as time marches on, it gets harder to do those things, doesn't it? This morning, what I'd like to do is go back in history. This year, 50 years ago, an important event happened. 1969, anybody have a guess? Landed on the moon. You saw my notes. Very good. 1969, July. Do you remember what you were doing then? This sort of categorizes our group. How many people remember the lunar landing? Put your hand up. Not everybody did, because you're all younger, some of you. That's right. And some of us oldies remember it. I was at the YMCA taking swimming lessons. I think I was a fish or a whale or a shark or one of those levels. And I remember looking at the black and white television at the YMCA and thinking, it really happened. They really landed on the moon. It was quite amazing. That was December 24th, 1968, when that picture was taken. That was Apollo 8 from the NASA archives. And it was the first time we could see from the moon the view of planet Earth as given to us as they were ambitiously planning to land on the planet. This is called Earthrise, and it's an impressive picture. This month, this was taken, and this is because the Chinese landed this little probe, this little explorer, on the dark side of the moon. This was a huge accomplishment. The Chinese launched out, and this has been the pattern of exploration of outer space, as we call it. This is just a neighbor of ours, though, just up in the sky. We see it regularly. And the first time they landed on the far side, it's a little cold there at times, minus 290 degrees Fahrenheit, a little chilly for a walk. Not much to see, but the view of the Earth is there sometimes. 2019 is moving on. And like these explorations in space, it's time for us to launch out. If you haven't launched out with the Lord, this is your year to do so. And I'd like to look this morning at the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, if you'd like to turn there. 2,000 years ago, the Lord charted a course for his disciples, for his followers. And he used object lessons to teach them. And the places where he stood were often launching pads to teach great truths and to give great directions and instructions for the disciples who would follow him and launch out according to his plan. So we're going to begin reading in Luke chapter 5, and it's up on the screen. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, who was Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon, being Simon, said, "Lord, Master, we toiled all night, we caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Verse 7, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down. That's what we were singing about in our introduction. Falling down before the Lord. He realized who was speaking that day. The Master. He fell down at Jesus' knees and he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John and the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook all. They launched out with the Lord. launching out. It's time to get going, and the preparations for our launch have already been made, but we need to get on board with God's program. And may 2019 be a year where we can say we really made a difference in our lives because we trusted the Lord to launch out into the future. We learned, just as the fishermen did, that to become an evangelist or to be a true disciple, you have to follow the instruction of the master. You know, the word evangelist is a word that isn't used very often, but it simply is a person who tells people the good news. In Spanish, they use the word for a church. They call it La Sala Evangelica. It's the place where people go to hear the gospel. And this is a place where people come to hear the gospel. And from this place, the gospel goes out into Sault Ste. Marie and to other parts of the world. The Lord Jesus is developing others like himself. He is the prototype. He was the first of his kind to come to earth. It's interesting, you know, they went to the moon, but the Lord Jesus came from heaven. He came here for a short period of time, about 33 years, to establish a family that would take people to heaven. That family is the family that is made up of many of us in this room. Brothers and sisters who are being conformed to the image of Christ. And as we look at the scriptures this morning, we see the teaching of the Lord Jesus. And just using an illustration with simple fishermen. They didn't have degrees. They weren't educated men that we know of. They were simply men that were hard at work trying to feed their families. And the Lord used that particular situation to show them the importance of following his instruction. Because he knew where the fish were. He knew when they would be there. He knew what had to be done, the exact timing, the preparations that had to be made in getting the nets into the boat and getting the nets into the water. Because when we follow him, we're not leaping by blind faith. We're moving forward. We're marching with confidence because he knows everything. He knows everything. And so in Luke chapter 5, verse 1, the multitude wanted to hear him. They wanted to hear him speak the truth. And the reason they were attracted to him was because he was the Lord. And he launched out from shore to set an example of what to do. And he used it as an opportunity to teach the disciples. He's not only the Lord, he's not only the teacher, but he's the commander. And when he says launch out and you obey him, the results become obvious. Maybe not immediately, but over time. We tend to be impatient in allowing the Lord to work in our lives because we like to see the results today. Sometimes it takes weeks, months, years, decades, sometimes even beyond the reach of our lives to see the work of God continuing. And that's exactly what happened with these disciples. Not only in their lifetime, but in the generations to follow. The work that Christ began that day on the shores of the Sea of Galilee continue on today, even in Sault Ste. Marie. By chapter 5 and verse 6, we see Peter saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. And he let down the net. That's the big thing, is to take that step. Is it blind faith? Perhaps. Is it a leap? Yes. But when you take the step, what you learn is that the Lord's already anticipating the next move. He's preparing you for the second step. And Peter let the net down, and when he recognized that the net was full, he recognized who the Lord was. It's like an eye-opener. He really understood who was speaking to him that day. And it's a great fishing story, of course. You know, I remember being down at the boardwalk, and we had this gentleman down there used to catch fish all the time, and he said, the fish was this big between the eyes. And I thought, that is a big fish. And this is a real fishing story. And the illustration for us is that the Lord wants us to become, like the disciples, fishers of men. By Luke chapter 5 and verse 9, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch. It's amazing what God can do. It astonished them. And so were the ones that he mentioned, James and John and the partners of Simon. And the Lord said, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. You will catch men. So they forsook everything. They left their fishing business to follow the one who said that they would become fishers of men. What would it take you today? What would it take for you to be convinced to do just that? To forsake the things that you hold the dearest and that you put above and beyond the Lord himself in your life and say, Lord, I want to forsake those things and I want to follow you. It's a sobering question. But that's what they did. There's a price that you pay in following the Lord Jesus Christ. You may pay that price personally or in your family or where you live or where you work. But the price is worth the payment because of what the Lord has done for us. When we go and looking at Luke's progression in the Gospel of Luke, go back to chapter 4 and verse 18. And I think it's significant, you know, when we study the scriptures in context, the Lord was in Nazareth. He was in the synagogue. He opened up the scroll of Isaiah and those well-known words from Isaiah chapter 61. And he read where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and the good news, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." This is still the acceptable year of the Lord, a day of grace. And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And that scripture was fulfilled that day. And in Luke chapter 5, we see the continuation of the fulfillment of that scripture. And so Peter, like many of us, need to learn that when we go fishing with the Lord, sometimes you have to step out of the boat in order to walk on water. That's a well-known expression, isn't it? But that's exactly what you have to do. That's a leap of faith. And the Lord was going to fulfill that instruction. Unfortunately, sometimes we experience this situation, failure to launch. Failure to launch. It's a syndrome, really, where some people struggle with the transition from youth to adulthood, to taking that next big step in life, becoming independent, if you will, lifting yourself up by your bootstraps to get out the door and be your own person. And we need to do that, and you do it a step at a time. Otherwise, we fail to launch. And in catching fish, there's a process. And in catching souls, there's a process. And the Lord is going to now provide more understanding for them to become fishers of men. And so looking again at the scripture, Luke chapter 5 and verse 20, between chapter 5 and 11 and chapter 5 verse 20, we see the Lord doing what he said he was going to do in Luke chapter 4. He was going to heal people. So he healed a leper. That was quite amazing. And he told the leper, "I'm willing to heal you, be cleansed," and he set him off. And then the Lord went into the wilderness. And then the Lord, we see, is healing a paralytic next, a person who was not able to walk. And in this passage in Luke chapter 5, verse 20, let's read together. "When he saw their faith," these men that brought the paralytic man to him, "he said, 'Man, your sins are forgiven.'" Stop. That's a statement that shakes the world. Who can forgive sins but God? "The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason." They saw what he was doing. They heard what he was saying, but this statement gripped them. And they said, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies?" They didn't look at the evidence. They just heard one statement: "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And they answered their own question. He was there. He's the one who could do it. They didn't know who he was. They didn't know who he was. "So when he perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, 'Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know,'" that's what's beautiful about the Bible. We don't have to sit down here this morning and say, but we may guess. We may hope so. He said, "But you, that you may know," that you may know, absolute certainty, "that the Son of Man," referring to himself, "has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." They'd never seen anything like that before. This was the real deal. This was God himself present with them, proving that he was truly God in the flesh. Because not only did he forgive the man's sins, he healed him of his disease, just as the prophet Isaiah proclaimed the Messiah would do. That the Lord would take people who were blind and open their eyes, people who were bound by sin and set them free, and he would give brokenhearted people a new heart. And that's what he was doing. William Carey was a missionary to India. This is one of the statements, if you search on the internet, William Carey, and you look up some of his famous statements, this was one that has been used over and over again. Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. William Carey, 1761 was the year he was born. 1793, he went to India. He was an example of someone who launched out. He's considered to be the father of modern day missions. And he was a scholar, but by trade, he was a shoemaker. He was a linguist and a missionary, as God trained him to be. And he was a Baptist pastor in England, and he served the Lord for 41 years in India. Translated the scriptures. I remember a story about William Carey that hard to forget. He had translated the scriptures. It took him 10 years. Fire came and burned everything. And he said, I need to do it better the next time. Because he had launched out in faith. It wasn't William Carey's work that he was doing. It was the Lord's work. And God enabled him. The rest of the statement, then we go back here, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God, is this. Expect great things from God and receive great things from God. Expect little from God and receive little from God. Our God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do for you. We teach the kids that in Sunday school. He also wrote these words, I'm not afraid of failure, I'm afraid of succeeding at the things that don't matter. Are you afraid of those things too? At succeeding at something that is completely irrelevant? Like how many hot dogs you could eat in a hot dog eating competition? I mean, we strive at doing sometimes things that are fun but of no significance. He also said the future is as bright as the promises of God. He had a great attitude. And it wasn't without challenges. In 1793, when he left England, he told his wife about his being led by God, and he packed up everything. They were ready to go to the ship. He had to go back and get her twice before he could go. And when he arrived, it was a tough journey. It was a tough road. No convert for 7 years in India. He was in debt. There was disease. His wife's health deteriorated. Eventually, she died. But by God's grace, William Carey, because he launched out in faith, he was sustained by God. And this is the story of many of God's people in history. He died at the age of 73, and he had translated the scriptures into 40 languages. He saw India open its doors to missionaries. And on his deathbed, this is Carey's statement to Dr. Duff. He said, you've been speaking about Dr. Carey. When I'm gone, say nothing about Dr. Carey. Speak about Dr. Carey's God. I quote that from the Profiles in Evangelism from Wholesome Words. Speak about Dr. Carey's God. When we're long gone, people will still be speaking about our God, and they should be. Eulogizing men is helpful for the moment, but what people remember most is exalting Christ and preaching Christ and sharing him. In Luke chapter 5, verses 20 to 25, another part of the passage, as it continues in his teaching about the forgiveness of sins. And a lot of excuses exist today for people not to believe in God. And one of those excuses is to deny his existence. And if you deny his existence, then you deny his ability to forgive your sins. And of course, if you do that, then you deny that you have any sin. But to deny that you do not have sin is a lie. And that's why he came. And as the Lord Jesus continued teaching the disciples in Luke chapter 5 and verse 32, he said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Because he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick need a physician. That's why he came, to heal us of our sickness, to heal us of the consequence and the effect of sin in our lives. The next step is to step out. Once you launch out, eventually you've got to get out of the boat. So we need to step out. So in Acts chapter 5, we see the early church following through with the Lord's instruction to launch out. Let me read, and they agreed with him. And the gospel, we have Christ teaching. In the book of Acts, we see Christ teaching being lived out in the early church. The church began in Acts chapter 2. All Jewish believers in Christ. This caused a great dissension, and there was great consequences because of this. And so the council came together, and they agreed with Gamaliel, who said that when they called the apostles, that they would beat them, and then they would command them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. So they departed. So these are the fishermen. These are the fishermen and the disciples that the fishermen had been discipling, and the early converts. And they said, don't you speak that name anymore. Of course, it's the loveliest name in the world. It's the only name that can save you. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, there's no other name that's been given to us whereby we might be saved. And they said, don't speak in that name. And they said, well, we're going to speak anyway. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. They launched out and they stepped out in faith. The result was they suffered. But what did they do? They kept on launching again and again and again. It was like a navy of ships that had no limit to the number of ships that were ready to set sail. Every one of them with their sail in the wind and straight ahead. And what were they doing? They were proclaiming a risen Lord that had come, and the message of the gospel was so clear because many of these men were eyewitnesses of his resurrection. There were 500 witnesses that had seen the risen Lord. And they had no problem being told not to preach in that name, not to speak in that name, because they knew who that person was. He was their Lord. He was their Savior. And these people needed to be saved as well. And so they ceased not to speak and to teach and to preach Jesus Christ publicly and from house to house. It's time to launch out. In the early church, there was no problem being out in the public sphere. We have become cowards in the public sphere. We let the politicians and the news people silence our voices. Our message should be heard. It should be heard as readily as they hear the news. And we have become gun shy. Well, we don't want to offend anybody. Well, the early church wasn't in the business of being politically correct. When it was time to launch out, they had a message to tell people. And they moved as the Holy Spirit of God moved them. They moved from the back room into the workplace, the community, and we need to do the same. Our actions should speak loudly, but so should our words. For too long, I feel that I personally have not opened my mouth enough to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. We have nothing to be ashamed of. We have everything to be thankful for. 2019 should be a year where we launch out and step out of the boat and tell people who Jesus Christ really is and why they need him, and to tell people what he's done for me and what he's done for you. That's the message people need to hear. It may cause us to suffer. It may cause us to be rejected by some people. But I think when you're honest with people, they really appreciate it. They may not like the message, but they appreciate the honesty. And I think that's what we need to do, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all people need to repent. That was the message of the early church. And so in Romans chapter 1, the apostles said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. If they don't hear, how can they believe? We need to tell them. That was the message of the early church. They launched out and they stepped out and they were preaching publicly and privately. We need to get into the public sphere. We need to be in people's homes, in people's personal lives. I think a great witnessing tool, when you talk to someone and they have a problem, let them know you're praying for them. I've never heard anybody say, don't pray for me. There's only one person, sadly, that I could tell you that. He didn't want me to pray for him. He died the next day. It broke my heart. I said, can I come and visit you again? And he said, yes, but he didn't want me to pray for him. It's the only person that's ever done that. Anybody else has no problem with it that I know of. We are to become something unusual. Here we go. Failure to launch. All right, illustration. MASH. Anybody here remember that TV series? Oh, yeah. Anybody watching reruns? Oh, yeah, okay. I know what you're doing on a cold winter night. Okay. The word MASH means to literally be crushed. That was the early church. They were crushed. They were crushed. The word MASH stands for Mobile Army Surgical Hospital. I'm going to suggest to you this morning that Bethel Bible Chapel is a MASH unit. We are a mobile and spiritual hospital. We need to get the mobile part going. We need to move. Or you know what happens? My car sits quiet for a couple of months. It squeaks and squawks because it's not doing what it was designed to do. It has to get moving. We are a MASH unit that has been designed to set people free from their sins. The message of the early church was not only publicly and privately, it was a message of great urgency and great need. And the Lord gave gifts to the early church as he gave us the same gifts. To be used, to be mobile, to be active. The focus is to be spiritual, and we are to be like a hospital to people here at Bethel Bible Chapel. We are to be like a hospital to people here in Sault Ste. Marie. So many people that need the Lord. And so in the TV series, of course, they moved to where the action was. They didn't set up the hospital, you know, in the capital. They went out into the fields where the fighting was going on. They went where the need was, where the surgeons need to be to treat the sicknesses and the wounds of the soldiers. And we need to be the same. Being led by the Spirit of God. So we not only launch out by faith in Christ, and we step out knowing that he's got a directive for our lives, but we need to reach out to people. To reach out. There are so many great needs that are among us. So in Acts chapter 10, we see the early church continuing, and this is a great passage because the Jews were getting a bigger picture. Their vision was expanding, that the gospel was not only for Jewish people, it was for Gentiles too. And it begins in Acts chapter 10 with the words that I just love to hear. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord for that, yes. And Cornelius was a man of faith. And Peter saw this. And Peter said in verse 34, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. God isn't just saying only Jewish people are my favorites or only Christians are my favorites. God is open to everyone. This is a great example of that. In every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, and here's the message, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. It's the only way we're going to have peace in this world is through the Prince of Peace. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And to him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever, isn't that great? Whoever, it can be anybody in this room, in this city, anyone at any time, whoever believes in him will receive the forgiveness of sins. That's what his message. That's why he launched out from heaven. He left the splendors of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for you and me. That's why he came. That's the message he wants us to proclaim, that there's forgiveness, a restored relationship with God. We can be members in good standing in God's family by faith in Christ alone. It's wonderful. We are witnesses of these things, which he did in the land of the Jews. He goes on to say in Acts chapter 10, verse 40, God raised him up on the third day and showed him openly. No secret what God allowed to happen to his son. God, as the righteous judge, allowed wicked men to take the lovely Son of God and to crucify him on a cross. No sin of his own. He was the holy, spotless Lamb of God. But he raised him on the third day. Without that message, there's no gospel, there's no good news, there's no hope, there's nothing we can do for people that will change their lives. But with the power of the resurrection of Christ, the power is there to change people's lives like it's changed our lives. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. Because if you don't bow to him as your Savior, you will bow to him as your judge. It's one or the other. There's no halfway. Our job is to launch out, to step out, and to reach out to be his witnesses. We are MASH units. So, review. Launch out. Next, step out publicly and from house to house, and reach out, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, because he is Lord of all. It's a simple message, and it's the message we all need to hear and we all need to put into practice. So when we launch out, we have to get in the boat and become fishermen. God has different job descriptions for all of us. Some are fishermen more than others, but we all are supposed to fish. There are some that are more evangelically gifted, and there is the gift of the evangelist. There are some who are more shepherd-like in their ministry. And although they have the ability to be evangelists, they have another calling, and that is to shepherd the flock. We have some that are farmers in our midst. They toil in one area, and they keep digging that soil. And some are like soldiers, always in the trenches, moving on. And if you want a little study to do on your own, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and there's about seven different descriptions of job titles we have, like approved workmen, who are not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Some are better students than others, and have a more of an interest in really understanding the scriptures and becoming real students of the word. But we all are to be, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the servants of the Lord. It says well, we're not supposed to strive, but we're supposed to be gentle. So when we launch out, be gentle with people. Be patient with people. Remember where you were once in your life. It softens your attitude. And put yourself in their shoes. Be empathetic. So as we launch out and get in the boat and start fishing as fishermen, we are guided by the Lord's voice. So every one of us here today that knows Christ is an evangelist to one extent or another, either in word or in deed. And then we step out. And we are not just evangelists, but we are to go publicly, house to house, and sound out the good news. That's the gospel message, because we are disciples that are guided by the master's command to go into all the world, preach the gospel. So you got to get in the boat, you got to get out of the boat, figuratively speaking, and then we need to reach out. The only message that we have for the world today is the message that there's peace that comes by believing in Jesus Christ, because he is Lord of all. And we need to bring others into the boat with us. So our mission statement, Bethel has a mission statement. This is another mission statement that I put together. It's this: we follow the great fisher of men who's calling us to be servants as he served and to teach all men to be disciples who follow him. So may that be our goal this year as we step out in faith to think about reaching out to other people. It's difficult, you know, when we hear somebody in a difficult situation and we know we should be praying for that person. And it's so easy to forget because we forget to put ourselves in their shoes. But when we do that, it helps us to be a servant. And the scripture says, ready for the master's use, qualified for the master's use. And in that same passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it talks about being a vessel of honor. And the only way that we can be a vessel of honor is if we empty the vessel of all the things that are dishonoring to God and give him the first place. That's the key. Because if we don't give him the first place, that means that something else is there. And usually, it's me. And that's the obstacle, is to get the order changed around. That's what it means when we say he is Lord of all. It means he has the first place and the final say. and what he says should go. And so that's the thought for today as we close. I'm going to ask John and the team to come up and close with another song. But this morning you may be asking yourself, you know, I haven't launched, not too late. They didn't get to the moon by accident. It took a lot of planning and preparation. And it's much simpler for us. What we need to do is simply just put our faith in the Lord Jesus. And so may God bless us to do that. Let's close in prayers as we get ready to sing one last time. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that you have guided us to this point in our lives where you have prepared us for a variety of ministries, for a variety of uses. And first and foremost, we thank you that you've called us to be ambassadors for our Lord Jesus Christ, reaching out here on planet Earth in this little city that we live in to be able to be used by you to touch other people. Help us to launch out in faith this year and to reach people. And Lord, whatever it is you want us to do, may we be receptive as your Holy Spirit guides us. And so we give you thanks for this day of grace, this opportunity to hear your word, and challenge us, Lord, again, even as we leave, to think about your word and how the Lord Jesus came to change us to be like himself. And may we be more like him this year than we ever have been in our lives. And we ask it all in his worthy name. Amen. Thank you. John?